On the line with me, along with his attorney, Dolores Blazingame in Riverside, California, is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who is taking the major hotel chains to task, and if he has his way to court, on the presence of Bibles in hotel rooms. And this, if you talk about a standard, I guess, a piece of Americana, the Bible in the hotel room has been just that for a great many years. Mr. Bozell, good evening. Thanks for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You're not an atheist, right?
No, sir, I'm not.
And from what I understand, this has more to do, though, with, it does have to do with separation of church and state.
Yes, sir. Most definitely. And my attorney has advised me that Bibles in hotel rooms violate separation of church and state because it violates your right to privacy. And I'm a little bit nervous.
Well, you're doing fine.
I've checked with the major hotel and motel chains.
Now, that would include who?
Yes, sir. That is Marriott, the Sheraton chain, the Hilton chains, Ramada Inn, Motel 6, and some of the upscale, what they call five-star chains to Ritz-Carlton and the Four Seasons, all have Bibles in the rooms. But again, I want to stress I'm not an atheist.
Do you if you're not an atheist, you believe in God?
I do believe in God, and I was raised with the Bible, and this is why I think Bibles in hotel rooms are a violation of your right to privacy based upon the overriding reality, whether we want to admit it or not, that we are with our wives or with our or the women are with their husbands, are entitled to be intimate with them in a hotel room that you have paid for and not have to have a Bible in a room that's there. And
what's essentially wrong with this?
Well, the point that I told my attorney is this, and there are a lot of people out there listening to me right now, Phil, who are saying to themselves, you know, finally somebody's taking this on, because I think a lot of couples have had to contend with this since we were very young, and on some level we've been taught from the Bible that God is prohibits certain activity sexually.
The Bible's view of sex?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And most recently, we were in San Diego, my wife and I, this past weekend, and we're a married couple, and we are entitled to be intimate with each other, and we did attempt that, but the hotel placed Bibles in the room so that people, I don't think, will feel free sexually or be intimate. And
well, they're not doing it to, and I want to get into why this intimidates people. But they're not doing it to intimidate people.
No, I don't think the hotel chains have an idea of what they're doing. But I've written them all letters saying that the presence of a Bible in a hotel room keeps you from wanting to have to be intimate, or maybe not. But it still violates the separation of church and state.
Well, right. The Marriott hotels have Bibles. All of the other Bibles. You were at a Marriott in San Diego?
We were. Yes, sir. We were.
And the specifics of your situation was that you wanted to have an intimate time with your wife.
To be very frank, Phil, we had agreed, my wife and I, she had consented to that we would be experimental, I guess you could call it. I mean, I don't want to be too graphic or anything.
Okay.
And I was very much looking forward to that. And she had said that she would be open to this. And we got to the hotel, and as I was beginning to be experimental with her, if you will, or be intimate with her, then I remembered that there was a Bible in the room, and at that time it did then cause me to be dysfunctional. And
all right, now I want to ask you, you feel that this is normal?
Oh, I think it is very, very normal not to want to engage in the kind of sexual act that I wanted to, that I had been looking forward to with my wife, knowing that there's a Bible in the room, and knowing that God at least says that you're not supposed to do a lot of this. And I think that at some point we should have the right, and I think there are millions of married couples in America today who would agree with me, at some point we ought to be able to have the right to spend a few minutes or a half an hour or an hour with our wife doing, being intimate and experimental sexually without having to worry about a Bible being there and sort of intimidating you.
Why do you call this a separation of church and state?
Because the church is where, obviously, the Bible belongs. The state is where we live. And if I'm engaged in an intimate moment with my wife, and the church is butting in, or it's looking at me while I'm doing that, that is an invasion of my privacy and my separation of the church and state. And so we intend to file a lawsuit against the major hotel chains, removing these Bibles. Also, a personal injury claim on my part, because my wife and I, April and I, who've been married 14 years this past January, are trying to work on our marriage. And this, I felt, did a great deal of harm to our marriage this past weekend, because it was a very big weekend for us in terms of our intimacy and in terms of getting our marriage back together.
All right, it's an interesting story. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Should Bibles be taken out of hotel rooms? Is this not a violation of the separation of church and state, especially when we're talking about a hotel room where, an intimate moment may be shared by a man and woman? Don't they have the right to engage in that without a Bible being there? Now, people are going to say that this is something that is in your mind.
Well, in my mind, I mean, sitting there in the drawer is a Bible, and in it, it says, you may not do something. Okay, it could be anything, let's say. And there I am, trying to relax and enjoy a weekend with my wife, and she told me that she'd let me do the one thing.
Okay, let's be clear. Whatever it was your wife said that you could do, the Bible forbids, you think?
Well, according to the Bible, yeah, it's you're not allowed to do it. And
if are you not a Christian?
I believe in God, but I also believe, and I do, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, then why would you want to engage in something that is prescribed by the Bible?
Because first of all, you have to understand, no Christian goes by the whole Bible. That's number one. Number two, I mean, even Jesus would say, come on, you can't go along with everything in it, because there's a lot of stuff that's bad, yes, but why can't you do it just one time and all of that? I mean, I'm simply trying to say this one thing that my wife said that she would allow, and I was getting ready to do it, and then, I looked over, I glanced over where my wristwatch was, which was sitting up on the end table. And I knew in that drawer was a Bible, and there it went, And I rolled over on my back. And
now you say, and in your claim, this was emotional distress and personal damage. Did you had an emotional moment there?
Well, I mean,
according to your attorney, you did. I mean, you when you were not able to engage with your wife sexually because of the knowledge that there was a Bible in the room, you had some kind of an emotional moment.
Yes, sir, I did. That is correct.
Okay, could you describe that for us?
Well, I laid back down on my back, and I put my arms over my face, and I guess you could say I just started to cry, and I told my wife I was sorry. I'd been looking so forward to it, and she got up and was very frustrated, told me that I was making a big deal out of nothing, and so she made me feel bad, too. And the result of all of this being the result of the Marriott hotel chain, along with the Sheraton, Motel 6, the Super 8s, and the other allied hotel and motel chains across the United States, violating the separation of church and state by having a Bible in a room right when a man has been given permission by his wife to go ahead and do it.
Well, when you say go ahead and do it, you're talking about something that's in the Bible that apparently...
Yes, sir, that is correct.
That is apparently not God's law.
That is correct, yes, sir.
Were you raised in a really religious home? Because here's why I want to say this. A lot of people wouldn't bother.
I'm sorry?
A lot of people that probably wouldn't bother?
Well, those are people who are, I don't think, are Christians. But it does bother Christians. So you see what I'm saying? So, all right, a lot of people, yeah, if you don't care what God thinks, but Christians do. And when your wife gives you, has said to you, okay, you can go ahead and do it, and I'm getting ready, and then...
All right, I understand. I know it's uncomfortable for you. I know you have your attorney there advising you. Is that correct, sir?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry.
Is your attorney there?
Yes, sir, she is.
Okay, Ms. Blasingame?
Yes, sir.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Is it intrusive upon the rights of a married couple engaging in intimacy to have a Bible in the room? Mr. Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, feels that having a Bible in any hotel room, and he and his wife, I believe, were in a Marriott in San Diego this past weekend, having a Bible there intimidates a person from wanting to be experimental sexually. He apparently, according to his lawsuit, was given permission by his wife for some experimental sexual act, and he was unable to perform it because he knew there was a Bible sitting there in the bureau right next to the bed. 1-800-449-8686. Is it time to get the Bibles out of the hotel rooms? This is not the first time that you've found Bibles in hotel rooms to be offensive, is it?
I've certainly thought about it, and I've spoken to my attorney about it, but when it interferes with my separation of church and state, that's when I felt I needed to act. And
your feeling that it interfered with what you call your separation of church and state is that the knowledge of a Bible being in the room intimidated you from performing a sexual act with your wife that you say is against the Bible.
According to the Bible, the thing that April was going to let me do just one time, because I wanted to try it, is apparently, I guess, prohibited by it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Beatrice, go ahead. You're with Stephen Bozell on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Well, I was just listening to the show, and, you know, I don't need to know what you and your wife are going to do. That's personal. But
no, ma'am, I don't want to tell you, but... I don't want to tell you, and I know you're a lady.
Oh, right, don't. But, I mean, I don't see how that violates separation of church and state. And
right.
Also, I mean, have you read the Song of Songs?
Yes, ma'am. That's a very beautiful portion. And I don't, as you indicated, and as I certainly want to be respectful of you, I want to tell you what we were going to do, but... If I could say it did have to do with, you know, needing lubrication, and the Bible is very clear on it.
Then why, if you're a Christian, then why do it?
Because no Christian follows everything in the Bible. It's impossible.
Well, it's impossible to go through all the rituals of the Old Testament, but
yes,
the New Covenant established in the New Testament frees us from the legalism.
Right, but what the thing that I guess I'm saying is that we've all been raised so much on the Bible and on God punishing people who are wicked that it automatically makes you, when you know there's a Bible, if you think about it, if you can forget that there's a Bible in the room, you can go ahead and go at it all night if you want. But what happened to me was all of a sudden I went, oh yeah, there's a Bible in the room, and man, it just, all the wind went out of my sails.
But
has this ever happened to you, Beatrice, or your husband, or anyone you know?
Well, it happens to Christians a lot. You'll be wanting to do something experimental, and then you'll open a drawer to find... a friend of mine was opening a drawer to look for... Excuse my language, man, but he was looking for his condoms, and they were sitting there on top of a St. James Bible. It just completely ruined everything.
Well, I don't see how using condoms in a sexual act with your wife is going to hurt... Your relationship with her is
No, ma'am. But the Bible, I wish I could tell you what it was we were doing.
All right, I think I can imagine. I think I can well imagine.
A lot of gay people do it?
Mm-hmm. All right.
See, so...
That could have damaged your relationship with your wife, with the two of you emotionally. And this is a way, perhaps, of avoiding a lot of guilt in your relationship.
My wife told me she was looking as much forward to it as I was.
Mm-hmm. But what was it? Were you afraid that you were disappointing God?
Yeah, I was afraid that I was going to be like in Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
She was on her hands and knees. And
okay, we understand, sir, and you know, you don't have to tell us specifically. I think we got it.
And I had asked her to... I'm sorry?
You don't need to give...
I'm sorry, but it was so wonderful, and I was so excited about it, and I told her to hold on to the bedpost, and it was going to be very, you know, animal-like, and then all of a sudden I went, oh, yeah. And I remember I laid down and I wept, and then I did something that, may God forgive me for it. I took the Bible, and I went to the balcony of our room, and I threw it down into the children's pool.
Sir, I think God can handle your anger at His Word for not understanding this, but
yes, ma'am.
At the same time, I don't think you need to be ashamed.
If you say that it's okay, then I would have to ask you the question, and you don't have to tell me, you know, specifically. But have you done that? And you
no,
you don't,
sir.
You don't
I
feel
haven't.
You would you ever let a man do that and feel that you've sinned?
You know, I think if it was with my husband.
Really?
That would be okay.
And you wouldn't feel like you've sinned?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't
see, there you
so.
Go. And your husband, is your husband a Christian too, ma'am?
Sir, I'm not married.
Oh, all right. Suppose you married a Christian man, and one night you said, let's go for it. Let's try. Let's make a run down to the lake, you know. And I don't know, you know, you're grabbing the bedpost, and then all of a sudden he can't do it because there's a Bible in the room.
Okay, look, you've already asked this lady enough questions. I don't want her privacy intruded. Ma'am, thank you very much, Beatrice.
But, you're welcome.
But you say you're willing to try it. Ma'am?
If it were with my husband, I think that would be fine.
Can I recommend that you get the Vaseline?
All right, just hold on. Thank you very much. Right now, what we're trying to do is determine whether this is a separation of church and state, whether this is a violation of the right to privacy. Claude, go ahead. Claude, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, first off, the separation of church and state is not a... hotels are exempt from that. They're not state. The government is state. You cannot have the government teaching you things that are religious.
The church is where you go, but the state... I live in the state.
You can be... Any conversation between two or more people about God is considered church. Even Jesus, you know, I mean, there's the Jesus scrolls and everything else. If you believe in them, say that if you lift a rock, you'll find me. Wherever you raise a board, there I am.
But see, that
it
makes
is not
it,
a building.
See, that
it
makes
is
it worse.
Anywhere.
That makes it worse.
If
why does that? Why does
that
make it worse?
Because now that he said, if you raise a rock, now if I try to do that with my wife, anywhere, it doesn't even have to be a Bible. I could lift a rock up, and there he is.
Everybody sins every day. It is the person who goes, if you know you've sinned and you are trying to correct that, then yes, you are, and you know, God says, I'll forgive you.
You feel needs to be out of all the hotel rooms because it's inhibiting people. Now, did you continue through the evening attempting to finish what you started, if you will?
Yes, sir, I did. And I'm very ashamed of it.
What did you do?
I asked my wife if I could, because I was not able to be functional. I went out to the car to look around for something to use, and I realized that I was no more than an animal. And people don't understand that they tell you the Bible is good, but that's what the Bible reduced me to. Our big trip to San Diego, she said I could go ahead and try it. And there I am, looking around for a beer bottleneck and stuff like that.
Good God! You didn't really use it, did you?
I'm sorry?
You didn't actually...
No, sir, no, I did not. I spent most of that night just crying. And my wife was reading... She was reading a Glamour magazine.
All right, let me take a phone call here. Donna, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes,
hello.
Ma'am. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're wrestling with your conscience and not the Marriott. And you'd be better off placing your energies on a good confession and marriage encounter to help your marriage.
Yeah, but by the same token, they should not have Bibles. I'm willing to go that route. I think
that's the route that I would go then, because you can't take it away just because of your one experience.
You can't have a Bible in a hotel room, because that separates church and state, see?
I think that's more of an excuse to the conscience.
Well, you'll have to explain yourself.
Meaning that...
I got my attorney here, and she told me we're on pretty solid ground. I mean, do you know what it is you're talking about, or...
Yeah.
You do?
What I'm saying is
have
you're
you
wrestling
engaged
with...
in the kind of thing that my wife and I were trying to do, or...
No, no.
Well, then I think you're probably out of your element here. You're really interesting to talk to.
I guess she didn't want to get into any conversation about her sex life.
Say that again?
I said I guess she didn't want to get into any conversation about her sex life.
I didn't hear you.
She didn't want to get into any conversation specifically about her sex life when you asked her the question. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is George. George, go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to find out, how can the Bible in a hotel room be against any standard whatsoever? The Bible is there for those who want to read it when they want to read it. The Bible is not there to stop anyone. The Bible is not there to stop anyone from saying, yes.
Okay. No,
the Bible is not there to stop anyone from being sexual in any way with your wife.
Are you kidding me?
Excuse me?
Are you kidding? You got to be joking.
No, I'm not joking.
Can I ask you seriously? Do you do comedy or? Because well, look, the Bible. Am I right or am I wrong? Did God drop an A-bomb on a bunch of guys that were, you know, doing each other?
Okay.
The wrong way.
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
I'm thinking about it with my wife, and I'm afraid of an atomic bomb.
You're speaking about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes.
That's number one.
Sodom
but
and
the
what?
Bible. You're also speaking about
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Gomorrah.
You're also speaking about the fact of the here that you have in the Bible, it states that we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You keep talking, you keep harping about the fact that the Bible should be removed from the hotel rooms. My question to you will be, if you sin, what are you supposed to do? If you sin, you said that you are a Christian.
Yes.
You said that you said that you believe in God.
Yeah, but the Bible very clearly says you cannot go.
And the Bible also says that if you sin, that you need to fall on your knees and ask for forgiveness. And what you need to do,
sir? Why are you telling me you worship Allah? So you don't.
Well, where do you get?
I worship what?
Where are you getting that?
Aren't you? Don't you worship Allah?
No, I don't.
Alan?
No, I worship a God, a living God.
Where is that?
That died on the cross and rose again for my sins and for your sins.
The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross. You're right.
If I sin, I have the opportunity to go to him and ask for forgiveness. And that's what you need to do to
right,
get your conscience.
Can I ask you a question?
What, sure.
So you're telling me go ahead and do it.
No, I'm not telling you to go. If you know,
have my wife go ahead and grab the bedpost and just grit her teeth.
If you know in your heart and you know that it's wrong in God's eye, why are you trying to commit a sin that you know that you're going to...
Because it was going to be a one-shot deal. It was going to be one time only. We were on vacation, big deal. And what happens? There's a babbo in the thing.
Okay.
And it tells all about Jesus dying on the cross, and
the
I'm
Bible,
sitting here.
The Bible is there. The Bible did not stop you. You know what stopped you? Your conscience stopped you. Your conscience let you know.
Aren't you supposed to be ringing a gong someplace? And
your conscience let you know that you were wrong, not the Bible.
Well, the Bible tells me.
And you came. You said you grew up in a Christian home. You know
I
what?
I grew up in a Christian home, but I'll tell you.
You came up in a Christian home, right?
What does the Bible say?
The Bible says,
yeah.
Train a child in the way that he should go.
Right.
That when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And that's what happened to you. What happened to you was that the word convict you. And that's what happened.
All
the
I
word
wanted
convict
to do,
you.
My wife said we could go ahead and go for
trying
it.
To do right now, what you're trying to do right now is try to bring a lawsuit against somebody that has nothing to do with your weakness. It's not your weak. It's not the hotel...
Didn't keep me from doing that? Go ahead. Tell me the babbo didn't keep me from doing that. Because as I'm sitting there and I'm ready to go for it, okay, I got two big jars of Vaseline And all of a sudden,
my point is, I'm remembering
Jesus died on the cross. What am I going to do about it?
You don't remember that, and you say that you are Christian?
No, I don't. I don't remember it at all, and everybody tells me.
You don't remember that he's a Christian?
Wait a minute. I got to ask
what kind of Christian are you?
Hold on. George, hold on. I got to ask. You don't remember Jesus dying on the cross?
I have no recollection of it. No, sir.
That's what the whole thing's about.
And that's, in other words, the Sunday morning Christian then.
Okay, but when did this supposedly take place?
But you're not a Christian. You're an atheist.
No, sir, I'm a Christian, but I'm trying...
No, you're not. You cannot be a Christian and say that you don't recall about Christ dying on the cross.
I'm just asking you, give me a date. Can you give me a date?
What do you mean, give you a date?
Everybody said...
You know what the Bible talks about hypocrites? You know what the Bible talks... There's one sin that God does not forgive.
Yeah, and it's going back door in a hotel room.
That God does not forgive under any circumstances whatsoever. You need to get down on your knees and ask God for forgiveness.
You think so?
Yeah, I know so.
Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me, sir?
Of course I will pray with you.
God, please forgive me. I tried. April said,
Father,
I could go
in the
ahead.
Name of Jesus,
I, could,
I rebuke the spirit
said I
of wickedness,
door,
of deceitful that has come over this body. God, I ask you to touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Lord God, I ask you to move.
I look at the Bible.
Your Holy Ghost Spirit, touch him, Lord. Touch him from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. God, I ask you, as he tries to mark you, Lord God, I ask you just quiet him, Lord. Quiet him in the name of Jesus. With the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, for your sins and for mine, God, I ask that you just touch him, Lord. Touch him. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you very much, sir. Can you say, crisscross will make you jump?
Excuse me?
Hello?
Excuse me?
Are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Steve, you there? I don't know what happened, but I've lost connection with him, sir.
Because Jesus has spoken. That's what has happened.
Seriously, I mean, the guy is gone.
That's what has happened. Jesus has spoken.
No, I'm here. I'm just kidding around.
Will you quit screwing around? All right, George, thank you very much.
You're so welcome, sir.
Sir, do you know where I can get one of these babos?
Will you be quiet? Father McQuarters, how are you?
Phil, I'm listening to this gentleman on your program tonight, and I know that he's in a great deal of pain, and I wanted to call in.
Are you a Catholic priest, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm a Catholic priest.
Well, I'm a Christian, sir, in the Southern Baptist tradition.
It doesn't matter. God loves all Christians. God loves all of his children. It doesn't matter what you are. And it certainly doesn't matter, son, if you're in a motel room or a hotel room, and the fever catches you, and you decide for just a fleeting afternoon that you'd like to tap into something different.
Really?
Absolutely.
You don't think God is going to punish me for that?
I don't think the Lord is going to begrudge a man a freewheeling afternoon of just exploration and what we used to call... You know, I was a chaplain in the United States Navy for a great many years.
Yes, sir.
We used to call it tail gunning.
Okay, look at... You know,
Who's this?
Who do you think it is?
Oh, Phil, how you doing?
Good! I'm the host of the show, remember?
Henry, he said in the Navy they called it tail gunning.
Yeah, I know what they called it in the Navy. What I'm trying to say to you, Father, is this. Whatever advice you give this man, and thank you for calling, by the way.
Well, you know, Phil, when you react to me like that, I think maybe you're angry with me. And I can't be sure whether you're happy that I called or not. You know, and it hurts me.
Well, Father, you're helping me out a lot because I was very conflicted.
Well, this man doesn't want the Bible in the hotel room.
And I can understand why I wouldn't want the Bible in the hotel room, but you have to listen to me. Is your name Stephen?
Yes, sir.
You can call me Father.
Father.
No, not
Father.
Call me Father.
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 Will you clowns get to it?
In any event, the Bible is there to remind us of the Holy Word of God and the promise of the covenant of his only begotten Son. And as long as you're mindful of that, as long as you're mindful of the Babel and Jesus dying on the cross, as long as you're going rear door, little tail gun, And, Jesus, you ought to see... Oh, my God, look at that WWF pay-per-view.
Will you get out of here? WWF pay-per-view.
Help me out. I just saw the same thing. And he had a nude woman in the middle of the ring.
All right, thanks a lot, Father. That's like the time he wanted us to make sure that they knew it was difficult to give communion to that poor kid who had autism because he didn't want slabber all over his hands. Our first ever Phil Henry Show webcast from beginning to end, right? Are we going to do all 3 hours? All 3 hours, and you'll see the show. And this video quality, I just checked it out today. As a matter of fact, if you go to the website, now, I was so looking forward to showing you guys a clip. We did a little test run on Friday night, and we had a clip, a live clip, you know, a video clip from Friday night's show, the whole Biff Barlow American Top 60 shtick. And I asked Doug to put it on the site, along with the banner, and of course, naturally, because I asked him to do that, it's not there. So tomorrow, I can assure you it will be there. If it is, he hid it somewhere. It's like, so I said to Doug, I tell you what, man, put up a banner that advertises our first webcast, okay, on June 17th, cool, and along with it, for free, unless somebody said, no, you can't do that because there's some F words in it. You know, in other words, what you're going to be seeing, folks, let me tell you what a webcast on our show is. We're constantly creating here. We're constantly coming up with ideas. We're constantly talking to each other. Okay, and so there's a lot of activity happening. If nothing more, it's just me sort of wigging between segments. So you see us actually do the bit on the air, and you also hear us talking, and you hear us, you know, sort of coming up with different ideas. And we had a nice example of that from Friday night show, a really good example, especially when we were talking about Paul Hester, the drummer for Crowded House, and Mark and I were talking. And we realized that poor Paul Hester, you know, killed himself. And so Biff Barlow went down to Australia to interview Paul just before he hung himself. And then Paul asked him before he left, would you kick the chair out from underneath me? So we're coming up with this stuff. You know, Harry will be on the talk back giving us some ideas. And so it's very cool. And if you log on tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll be there, unless somebody at the company here said, no, you can't do it because you guys are laying some F-bombs in there. And we wanted to make this accessible, this clip, just this one little clip, a free clip for everybody to see. And then to see the actual webcast, you have to have a backstage pass. And we got thousands of people who are backstage pass members, and we'd like you to become a member of the family.